fly list.
As far as the no fly list.
If you're on that list.
The most problematic thing is that
anyone can be under the investigation of the FBI. FBI.
And I know that something really good is going to come out of all of this.
Hey everyone, welcome to another week of the No Fly List, where we talk to comedians, artists, and other interesting people of color. I'm Athir.
I'm Amama.
And today we had a mutual friend on who, she's awesome. We actually started out together, and I remember when Amama and I met, we're like, you know Christiana? And yeah, who I knew as Miss C back when we started out.
And I just know her as Christiana Jackson. So when I was like, do you know Christiana? She's so cool. And Athir was like, oh, Miss C? And I was like, I had no idea that was her nickname.
Well, anyone who started out with us will know that that's what she used on stage. So I have her now, even the recording and the other one, as Miss C.
Well, no, this is such a great episode. Christiana is one of the funniest comedians in New York right now. She works so incredibly hard. Even though we're really close, I found out so much about her. For example, she was married.
I know. She has the craziest stories because, I mean, when I knew her, she had these, like, hilarious stories that were, like happening in real life and like unfolding before us. And then she also has like this crazy past that I didn't know about.
Yeah. In this episode, you're going to hear her talk about how someone tried to kill her ex-husband and how calm Christiana was throughout the entire ordeal.
She handled it was like, was just like crazy calm. And I guess she was just trying to diffuse the situation because it was so out of control.
But also she was 25, like she was really young. And I just think that at that age, I would have been like, oh my God, we're going to die. And she's so calm. And it's one of the funniest stories I've ever heard.
It's so good. She's just naturally, since I've known her, like on and off stage, that's just her. She's just a hilarious person. And she just makes any situation really funny. And her posts on Facebook, like, I mean, they're raunchy. Just
yes, they are. Don't share them with your parents.
Yeah, not safe for brown parents or parents,
well,
in general.
What is
work.
Safe?
What is safe? Yeah.
Before we get to the episode, though, we are going to jump into our first segment, the No Fly List.
Yeah, so this is a list of people that we think belong on the No Fly List, or a group of people, kind of our shit list. And Amama, who do we have for this week?
This week, the week before the election, we have undecided voters. Like, I don't think grandpa should ever do, like, everyone needs to retire.
I get our options aren't amazing, but please just, you know, go blue. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for.
And that doesn't mean blue lives matter.
Yeah, no.
Don't go blue like that.
No, don't go blue like that.
Someone's like, well, I listened to your podcast. You said go blue, and I went for the guy who loves the cops.
Oh, no. This is going to be the worst soundbite.
I know later when one of us makes it, they're like, wait a minute.
Actually, you know what? I have a second no fly list
Ooh.
Person. It's kind of a combo. It's people who called the cops and in general, and people who called the cops on our show.
Yeah, I'm really upset about that. Guys, we had such an amazing outdoor show, and then these little huppies or hippies.
These little hush puppies.
I combined hippies and yuppies.
I like that. I actually like that. It's a new term,
like hippies,
these huppies.
But hippies wouldn't call the cops. I don't know why.
These like hipster yuppies in Williamsburg who were like, I have a 6 a.m. yoga class tomorrow.
Yeah. We weren't even that loud.
Yeah, we weren't loud, and we were just having fun and laughing. And they called the cops. Luckily, a white man lived there and showed up and talked to them. So
we were really lucky in that, because
seriously,
they would have just been like, you guys have to leave, because
and it's a brown show called the No Fly List. It's only appropriate, I guess, that the cops came and broke it up.
And I guess I was making fun of white people really loudly in the microphone. So I think every single person was. So I wonder if it just radiated throughout the neighborhood and they were like, enough of this.
We're taking back control. We're gonna call the police. Because honestly, like, if that happened in like a black or brown neighborhood, we were talking, like, we wouldn't be our instinct is not to call the cops.
No.
Especially also, with everything going on.
No. And also, like, this summer, like, some of my neighbors, like, were outside, like, doing, like, stoop parties and other shit. And I just walked over because I was like, oh, there's going to be good food. And there was. And then I played dominoes and ate some good food with my neighbors. And it's just been a great summer. Like, but just white people don't do that. They're like, nope. Brown people are having fun. Time to call
the cops.
That's
why I love, like, yeah, brown and black neighborhoods. I remember when I lived in Spanish Harlem, like, our building was, like, a frat house. Like, I remember, like, we would, like, shotgun beer in the hallway.
It's so nice.
Non-alcoholic, obviously. Yeah, no. Yeah. That was on New Year's, and no one gave a shit. It was lawless. We'd just sit on the fire escape. I'd throw parties there all the time. And I get, yeah, there's got to be an in-between. But, like, seriously, like, you could talk to your neighbors. You don't need to call the cops.
Yeah. And they were like, we got several noise complaints. And it's like, no, you didn't. I know the neighbors next to them, next to the place that we did the show, I've seen them before. And
they're huppies.
Yep. And I was like, it's them. I know it. I should have egged their
apartment. If you're a huppy, I hate you. And you're on the no-fly list.
Yeah. But if you're not, we really hope you enjoy this episode. It's one of our favorites. So, guys, here's Christiana Jackson.
We interrupted a very important story to realize that we weren't even recording.
Listen, man, technology's a motherfucker.
Especially right now.
It rules our life.
The technological divide will split the comedy world. That's what it comes down to. Like, very early on, I was like, ooh, some people have some old-ass phones. And, like, you would, like, get on a Zoom, and you're like, ooh, ooh, poverty.
The class divide is real over Zoom.
Yeah. Right? The people who are going to succeed are the ones who are good at technology. They're not even funny. They'll just be good at tech.
Tell us about what you had to sacrifice to be here today before technology fucked us up.
Okay, so basically, yeah, I matched with this guy like a couple days ago, and then he called me like 2 a.m, and I was still up, of course, because I'm drinking new coffee, and it's potent, so I'm still awake. And then we talked on the phone like it was like the 90s, which was nice, and we're both old, so it made sense. Yeah, yeah. And then, but then he has a friend who lives, like, not that far away from me. And I was like, oh, let me send you a picture before I go to sleep, like a nude. And then he was like, I want to come and eat you out, like, right now. I just want to eat you out. I don't want to do anything else. So I'm just like, I gotta wake up and do a podcast. Well, that's the other thing. I was like, you think I'm going to let you just eat me out? You're not going to put your dick
like
in me?
Like, it's going to stop there.
What, are you crazy?
But you gave up sex for our podcast. I don't know if we're going to live up to that.
Also, like, you are now in the Hall of Fame as, like, one of the best guests in the entire world.
Seriously, that's amazing. We would totally understand if you're like, hey, guys, sorry, I just...
No, but I feel like I don't want to be that person. Like,
I
feel
we
like everybody would afford that.
We did
that.
Put flaky people on our no-fly list, so our shit list, so... yeah. That was a test. Thank you. We actually sent that guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say we sent
that
guy.
We planted him.
No,
that
I
was
still
us.
Have to eat
we
me
catfished
out.
You.
Yeah, we catfished you. We're like, hey, let's see if she responds.
Well, you guys do an impressive Southern accent. There you go, Thea. It's from being from Alabama.
She's from the South.
No, I know.
Actor.
Oh,
I grew up there to play this part.
Years in the
very impressive. Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I have a little bit of an accent. And then once we started talking, I was like, oh, you have a very strong accent.
Where'd you meet him?
He's like,
what kind of accent?
Tinder. He's from North Carolina.
Oh.
But it's very country.
I like Southern accents.
They're not all equal. There are multiple levels of Southern accents.
I like the ones I hear on TV.
Yeah, the palatable ones.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's cool, but it's just... very different from the accents I'm used to, which are Latin. So I'm just like, oh, this is a shift in a different direction.
Since day one when we met, so you have like the funniest stories about, well, you were with like a guy in Cuba back then. I don't know if we want to talk about Poppy. We don't have to, but I just remember.
I heard some of the best stories from you about, like even recently, about
hell yeah. No, I'll talk about anything. Fuck it, I'll talk about Poppy. Spanish dudes, Latin dudes. They're gross. They're amazing. They're so gross. That's why this guy was like, Southern guys are the best. And then everything he said he wanted to do, I was like, this is a regular day uptown. What are you talking about? I'm like, everybody, he's like, I'll eat your pussy and I'll eat your ass. I'm like, that's every Spanish dude. Like, what the fuck? Unless they grew up in a part of Harlem that was very black. And if they grew up with too many black Harlem dudes, then I know they're not going to eat pussy. I'm like, we influenced you in the wrong way. It didn't go the other way around. But no, Spanish dudes are gross. And it's very hard to, when someone is into all of your body, it's very hard to go back to just like basic sex. You're just like, you're not going to be all over all of it. You're not going to be all over my grasa, my fat. You're not going to like just love the essence of me being a woman.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Yes.
Oh yeah. They're gross, that. Man. It's amazing.
I respect people who, we were talking about this earlier. Like, I respect people who know how to treat a woman's body right.
Yes.
Because a lot of dudes are just like, let me put it inside of you. If my mom ever finds this, I've never had sex. I'm a virgin. So one day, inshallah, when I'm married
to my cousin. Rahim.
I was like, Rahim, that could be a Harlem name too. I was like, Rahim, wait a minute.
A lot of Muslim names, like Talib, Rahim, Malik, or Malik.
Well, hell yeah, man, because we got black Muslims. I have black Muslims in my family.
Nation of Islam goes strong.
Yeah.
Word. But I think, so not all of them are in the nation. They're just separate.
Yeah, but even just regular Muslims, whatever that is.
I see. I'm glad that you said that, because sometimes I'm trying to think, like, there was some, I was trying to talk to people, like, I went to Rutgers, so we had a very strong South Asian population, and so I had a lot of Muslim friends, and then when I would try to be like, yeah, I have, like, there are black Muslims in America, there was always, like, I'm like, no, they're here, there's a mosque, right, and then also in Harlem, we have African Muslims, too. Yeah, and then we also have Middle Easterners. We have people from Yemen. We have a cocktail of Muslims, but I feel like
it's
they're never...
It's a hodgepodge of Muslims.
Yeah, South but Asians they're never included racist. In the conversation, yeah. Which makes me
it's
very
South
sad.
South Asians are really racist.
Yeah.
And Arabs. I mean, it's absolutely true. And we talked about this a little bit, too, with Zainab Johnson, who grew up in Harlem as black Muslim. And it's just, they're an uncounted, like... minority within a minority.
Yes.
It's like, we don't talk about it.
It makes me very sad, because it's, first of all, it's a missed opportunity for community, and then it's
and cross-cultural,
yeah,
like understanding,
yeah, and then
and like bonding against white people, like,
which is
like
really it's the goal
word, but also
no, even like South Asians, like my mom will sometimes be like, I want you to marry a Muslim man. And then I had to, like, I was like, yeah, okay, but he's not going to be brown. He could be just Muslim is Muslim. And that's where her racism sometimes, she'll be like, well, Pakistani is what I really want. So it's like, no, you have to think beyond that.
Yeah, get an Albanian. I fucked an Albanian.
Was it good?
You
had, you're hesitating.
You had to remember, if it had to take that
parts
long,
of it were good. Parts of it were good. He was a great cuddler.
Yeah. How was okay. Text? Well, the cuddling was good.
Hey, man,
no,
sometimes it's
that.
Sometimes that's where it's at. Sometimes you're like, I actually do need someone to hold me right now. I mean, we had good chemistry, but he was one of the first, like, smaller dicks that I ever encountered, but it was almost,
this is not really setting me up for you were like, date an Albanian,
yeah,
small dude.
You date white dudes,
talk about the sex. That's true,
he's a white dude,
sex.
You date, you only date the ones that are packing. You're like, all right, let's, well, now I'm at a point where I'm like, comedy's more important than getting eaten out. I'm like, somehow
I know, that's, is that maturity? Is that what happens when
I think what it is I've always put, like, I've always had a work ethic that surpasses everything, that's more important to me than everything, which now that I'm older, I'm starting to reflect and realize, like, that is part of the reason I feel like I'm not in a relationship. Part of it is because I've always put work first. That's always driven me to be, like, very professional, on top of my shit, My moon is Capricorn, so I think that's like what me like too. Pushes me to be really even Cap moon.
How did we? Yeah, my birthday is the 30th of December. When's yours?
Oh, you are a Cap. My moon's a Cap. So that
your moon, thing, okay, Ryan.
Yeah. So Ryan, I think that's both. The thing that drives me to be like on top of it.
I'm an Aquarius through and through, but all of my houses are Capricorn. So I don't know if that.
We just lost all our male listeners.
Oh, that's why we're all
hanging
out.
That's fine.
Wait, but Christiana, I also think that like you need a guy who is equally as driven.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of guys get jealous. You're really successful in comedy, and I don't think a lot of people can handle that.
Oh, no, I totally agree with that, too. But I just know, like, I've been reflecting, in quarantine, I've been reflecting a lot about myself. And and I just realized, I'm like, yeah, even a few years ago, I realized, I'm like, you will always put work first. I'll make certain adjustments and sacrifices, but I put work is very important to me and being successful. And also, like, just showing up and being, like, because I'm a Black woman. I know that there's so many stereotypes that work against me that I have to prove, like, no, I am, you know, like, I
you have to work twice as hard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But so, and
that's why the guy that you need is someone who definitely is, like, driven and also is supportive of you.
Word.
Like, fuck you being supportive of it.
No, I want it to be equal. I'm a Cancer. I'm very nurturing. But it's a matter of finding somebody. It's a weird balance of everything. Because I've also met men who are super driven, but then they're also not, they're also like busy with their own shit, you know? So it's like, mm-hmm. like Brazilian Poppy, who we have tried many times to make it work, and he is too busy and I'm too busy. So it's like, it's always a thing where it's like, oh, you gotta go back to work in Brazil. And you're like coming up to hang out in between jobs. Cool. I got a show. You know what I mean? Like, so it's yeah. hard to find
a balance of like someone who both parties have their own shit going on, but not so much that there's not time to spend with
Word.
One another, which I think is difficult.
Also, I just have it.
Especially in comedy.
Oh, God, yeah. I would make a sacrifice. I'm willing to make sacrifices for the right person. But I also haven't met someone who's in enough for me to be like, this is the person that I'll make a sacrifice for. So that's the other thing where it's just like, when I meet that person, I know that I'm willing to open up and do all of that. But who's that guy?
Well, what kind of sacrifices are we talking?
I mean, I would understand and make adjustments to maybe like, I don't want to say doing less spots. I think, I mean,
that's the thing. That's the sacrifice. Usually,
I can't sacrifice. That's it.
I mean,
like,
I would
like whoever I'm with has to just be cool with my lifestyle.
Word.
I used to sacrifice spots for if I liked someone, I want to go on a date or whatever. I'd be like, well, I could like, I'll do the spot another time.
That's
and now
depends
I'm
where
just,
the spot is.
That's true. Yeah. But, like, I did it, like, too much. Then the last 2 years, I was like, absolutely not. I come first.
Word. I think really what the sacrifice would be is actually letting someone into my comedy world. That's really what the sacrifice. For me to feel that comfortable and open to be like, yeah, come hang out or come to a show. That's what the sac. Because many men have said, like, and offered. And I'm like, I don't want you. Like, I don't. That's such a, it's such a specific and precious world. And it's work. Yeah. I always keep everything. I would explain to people, I'm like, this is my job. So it's like if I pulled up at your job and was just hanging out. You know what I mean? Like, I can't give you that much attention. Also, comics are idiots. And they would probably be like, oh, is this the guy from this post? And I'd be like, no, it's not. Actually, this is a different guy. But
and
thanks
like, what post?
For
what?
Blowing up my spot. But so I think that would be the sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. Comics have no tact or etiquette.
No.
No.
But I like what you said about bringing someone into your workspace. And I've explained this to, like, my family, too, where it's like, I'm not going into your law office and being like, hey, I'm here to hang.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't think our jobs are work.
Yeah, which is, like, right before I go up on stage, I don't want to talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. I really need to be in a better headspace. So sometimes if there's, like, even comics around me talking, I'm like, hey, I'm about to go up. I need, like, 5 minutes alone.
Where, you just need your zone.
Exactly.
Also, it's. I don't think they understand that after we do our set, we're still all hanging. And it's not work, but it's part of the work environment of like...
It's not work and fun and all of it mixed together because our worlds, like now my friends are comedians.
Yeah.
People, everyone I see, my work is comedy. My fun is comedy. My whole world is just comedy.
Yeah. So that's why
it's hard to also keep those things separate. You really can't.
100%.
We talked about this yesterday. I also don't want a guy who's going to start doing comedy.
Oh, no.
Like going in. Yeah.
No.
I would drop that.
And I think men are more likely to be like, yeah, I'll start. I can do this too. Because they don't think it's like a
real. Well, I remember it's different from already being a comedian, which, yeah, of course, that comes with its own complications. If you met and they're already comics and established, or at least you're in like the same whatever circles, and then it's another thing like a guy that like just decides that comedy is something he wants to try because he thinks he can because you do it.
Almost every dude I talk to will say that same shit, like, oh, I always thought I'm the funny one in my group. I'm like, all of your friends think you're the fun, like they each think they're the funny one. I'm like, every man thinks he's so fucking funny, which is why we have so many mics filled with dudes that aren't funny. But
just basements and basements full.
Yeah. And I'll be like, oh yeah, you think, go ahead and try it. You go ahead, because there's a difference between being funny and performing. It's a totally different world.
They don't understand that there's writing that goes behind it, and there's thought, yeah, and precision and intention.
And reflection.
Yeah. And editing and
grinding,
re-editing.
Grinding your body to its bare. Like, it's like, oh, you think this is just a fun thing? I'm like, you understand what you have to do just to get on a bar show in New York? How funny you have to be? How much networking you have to do? I'm like, yeah. You want to do that? Feel free. Go ahead. I won't fuck you, but have fun doing comedy.
It's so true because, like, even with comedy coming back right now, there's certain, like, habits that I was doing before when I was, like, constantly on the go where it's, like, I have to, like, figure out when I have to eat. I still want to eat healthy, yes, but it's so hard to do, yes, that. And now we're outside. We're going from one location to the other. And there's a pandemic, so I don't really want to go places to, like, grab a bite. So it's, like, you, yeah, sacrifice your health. Your mental health, your physical health.
Oh my
health.
God, yeah. I do many times I've eaten soup on the fucking roof of a tiny cupboard. Or the other day when
you
I saw fear,
had
beans and rice and beef.
You really like cook and you do it. You like.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, but you stay healthy. You try to like keep yourself, you know, you take care of yourself, and it's hard, and you really have to try in this career because it'll wear you down if you don't protect yourself.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
And people are vampires too.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
God.
Actually, since you're the perfect guest for this, because we have a dating advice relationship segment called 50 Shades of Brown.
Ooh.
So this is where people write in their dating questions. A lot of them are, you know, other POCs that have relationship questions.
But today's question, I think, is pretty common across the board, which is if you're hooking up with someone during quarantine, are you telling them, like, should you tell them that you're also hooking up with other people? And should you wait a few weeks between hookups?
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh. Okay, where does this person live? Do they live in a place that's spiking?
I think it's just Brooklyn. But it doesn't, but at the same time.
Oh.
I know.
Ooh, no, but Brooklyn's a hot spot now. Y'all are crazy. Brooklyn is nuts. It's a lawless borough. I gotta tell you.
But yeah, what would you?
I mean, thank God, but it's also like, as someone who lives in Manhattan, it's gonna be like, what the fuck is going on here? Okay. I would say this. Okay. Look at the numbers. Talk. See, it depends, you know? Like, if you're in a spike zone, first of all, okay, sorry. First, this is my process. First, I was like, I was already sick, so whatever. I was sick for a month, and when all the other comics were sick, like back in like late mid February to mid March.
I was sick at the same time.
Oh yeah, a bunch of us were, man. I'm surprised we all survived. We're like the cockroaches.
I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. I mean, we were all sick. Like, in hindsight, I'm like, so many people were dropping out of shows, which we do stage time even if our limbs are falling off.
Yeah.
So the fact that so many people were like, I can't come, shows you how bad it was and how much it was going through through our funny community. But so, okay, if you've already been sick and you believe in antibodies, which I do, I don't want to sound like I'm crazy.
Well,
but like,
no,
and then,
we don't even know enough information about that. So
I know
it's fair to say it's hard to know what it actually does. They don't even know. So in any case, go on.
No, I know. I just didn't want to sound like one of those crazy people on the street who's like, you know, Santa is real and there's a half ape army. You know what I mean? There's a lot of conspiracy theories. So anyway, but so that I would go through that, I would ask the person what their habits are. Do you live alone? Are you quarantining? Are you working? Where do you work? All that kind of stuff. Have you been sick? Are you going to let me sit on your face? You know, all the important questions. Because you still want to be pleased. Because that's the thing. Like, I realized early into quarantine, I'm like, yo, you better fucking deliver the goods. Because you might be the only piece of ass that someone's getting for a while. If you're gonna do it, fucking do it. Have
higher.
A good time. Take some
ask
time.
Ask what you want.
Get what you want and also give it. Don't be selfish. Now is not the time to be selfish. Understand. I mean, I do sometimes feel like I'm a bunch of men's, like, comfort prostitute, because men are going through some shit. And sometimes, like, I'll, like, send a nude and they'll be like, oh, thank you so much, I really needed this. I'm just like, men are going through it. They are not equipped to handle tragedy or
emotions,
pandemics. Yeah, they're going through this. I mean, I've never gotten so many like, oh, I just really made my day. You're like, Jesus Christ. But I do take great nudes. But anyway, and then I would say, I've had sporadic repeats. So I haven't had to tell that many people what I'm up to. Also, I'm pretty shady. So it's not a conversation that I have had to have. Oof, now I'm really thinking back. I mean, it's been a wild quarantine.
Taking your own advice?
I mean, for regular people. I think this is the thing. If you're not used to, like, fucking a bunch of people, don't start now. That's what I would say.
Yeah, this is not the time.
No, because you don't know how to vet people, period. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I came into quarantine with a certain amount of experience that I'm, you know, and instincts that I feel good about vetting people and just, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I'm just living how I normally live, but slightly more careful.
Yeah. I also think that, like, some people on Twitter were like, this is the perfect time for me to, like, get a boyfriend because you can't really be hooking up with multiple people. And I was like, oh, you don't know how men work.
Shit I've ever heard.
Exactly.
Please.
I've seen it a few times where people are like, oh, I can, like, find someone because it's really hard for people to hook up with each other. And it's like, no. People have hooked up in the middle of a war. I don't know. It's not.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. More so.
Also, I would say this. Be careful of people that are just wasting your time. Because
Always.
Some people are just lonely. And I've heard this on both for men and for women. A lot of women are doing this. And ladies, stop fucking around. Like, don't waste a man's time. If you have no intention.
Don't be afraid to ask for what you need.
Exactly. And be very clear about it. Don't lead someone on like you're going to want to, like, do something. Yeah. Because people are leaving their homes in a pandemic. So if you act like you're trying to, like, you know, you're down to whatever, and then you meet up and you don't want to hug the person, that's like, nobody's leaving their house to have a face-to-face conversation. You know? Like, let's be real. You know? Like, and that's fine. I think people are being respectful of other people's boundaries, but you have to make that boundary very clear. And just say, like, I just want to talk on Zoom. Okay, but just say that to that person, but understand also they might be like, all right, man, deuces. Because they're like, one of my friends, he's like, yeah, there are women who've said, like, we'll meet up when this is over. When the fuck? We don't know when this this is over.
Oh, yeah, I had someone tell me that they're dating someone. They called her their pandemic girlfriend. I was like, I think your life partner's. Because I don't know when you think this is going to end. Like, yeah. How can you just have, like, a pandemic relationship?
A lot of people in pandemic married now. Relationships are going to get married and then
married
divorced.
Married or divorced or both. Or right now, a lot of people also are breaking up or have broken up during the quarantine.
Yeah.
So it went, I don't know, it goes both ways.
Scoop them
up. In
other
countries that are doing a lot better than us, a lot of people went
to everyone
divorces,
else?
Yeah, everyone else. Every yeah, there's people who the divorce rates like skyrocketed right after.
Because also you probably realize that, hey, I don't want to live the rest of my life with this person, much less a second wave. So they're like, let me get out now. You've been married before.
Yeah, I got married young. I got married at 24. Well, that's not that young. But it is. In retrospect, it's young.
That's young.
It's young.
I got married at 24. I turned 25 the following month. Yeah, I was married. I got married in Ireland to an African guy, which is whenever someone says, I'm not black enough, I'm like, I went to Ireland and found a black man that I married. Like, that's... Are you kidding me? Like, that's like one of the whitest countries. And I was like, you at the reggae spot. Let's go.
Is the whitest country.
Yeah.
Did he grow up there?
No, he's from Ghana. So he grew up in Ghana and then he lived in England and then he moved to Ireland. And we met at a reggae spot. I was talking to some other dude, but not like interested in that dude. Just like I met him around. And then he stopped, talked to that guy, went inside. And I was like, who the fuck's that dude? And then I remember when he went inside, he turned back around, looked at me, and I was like, I'm going to go fuck that dude. So then I went into the spot looking for him. And then we hung out all night. And then we hung out for the rest of my trip. And I hated Ireland because there's nothing wrong with Ireland. It's just weather-wise. It's very depressing. And then, yeah, 6 months later, I married him. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Was your family there?
No, they still don't know I got married.
Off to Ireland. What?
I never told them. They have no idea that I ever got married. This was like 2006 I got married.
Not even your sister?
Oh, definitely not my sister.
When did you get divorced? This is crazy. How?
This is a thing where this is, you know, why do we all do comedy? A lot of us never got enough attention, right? And so the fact that I was going to Ireland and like nobody was like, why do you keep going to Ireland? They're just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, my mom was a performing artist, so she's got like, and she's a Pisces. So she's got that like, whatever free spiritness about her. And then also just wasn't around. So, you know, but I was like, how is nobody wondering why the fuck my black ass keeps going back to Ireland? Like, they knew that I was seeing someone, but they didn't know that I was importing him to America. So I went through all of that.
This seems to be a pattern of yours.
I've saved two men's lives. I'm done.
That's amazing though. This is great.
Border is closed. No more paperwork.
You're basically the UN but better.
Word. Well, I would say that I was like a modern day what's her name? Underground Railroad.
Harriet Tubman?
Yeah. I was like, Harriet Tubman is over. Okay. We're not bringing any more men to America. But so I was going through like intense fucking government visa shit for years. By the time he got here, it was already like, I was already done. But we had gone through so much, I was like, I might as well bring his ass here, stick it to America a little bit, and let him work in New York and see how hard life is here.
Yeah.
But we're still friends.
When did you realize that you were gonna, did you file for divorce?
Oh, yeah.
Was there like a specific moment that you were like, I can't do this anymore?
Oh, well, let's see. He was cheating on me. And which now that I'm
That'll
older, it's like, okay, of course. But the way that I found out, his girlfriend tried to kill him when I was there.
You told me the story.
Yeah. She tried to kill, and I still didn't break up with him then. I was like, all right, maybe I'll believe this man's bullshit. But I knew, like, it's like, come on.
I'm sorry, you have to definitely elaborate on that story.
Okay.
It's one of the best stories I've ever heard. And also, it made me realize that I want to be exactly like Christiana.
No, you don't.
You'll tell the story because your resolve in the story, I was like, I would have freaked out. You were like, no, that was cool.
No, that's my cap moon, okay, dude. Okay, that's my cap moon. Because being a Cancer, you know, emotions would have been everywhere. That's where I've embraced my Capricorn moon. I like look back and I'm like, why do you think you stayed so level-headed in so many crazy situations? Because your cap moon was like, nah, bitch, relax. Anyway, so we were watching Yeah, we were watching Last King of Scotland. And then I haven't watched that movie since. And then it must have been coordinated with his roommate because his roommate left. And then like 20 seconds later, this big, tall South African woman, just came in and there was like a gas heater and the flame went out. And I'm not kidding. I was like, oh, some shit's going down. I was like, oh no, shit is going down. And then I realized looking at her, the day before, when I was walking on O'Connell Street, which was like the main street, Dublin's very small. I would see black women, they'd never smile. Here, black people usually smile, we'll give each other a what's up, right? Like if we're in a minority situation, right? Not up here, like whatever. And then like, so black women, I was like, African women never smile at me. But she smiled at me. And then the next day I realized that was her. She probably saw me and was like, this motherfucker Charles, she's in town, right? Because I was like, oh, why does her face look familiar? I was like, oh, shit. She's the one who smiled at me. That's why. She's probably like, I'm going to get this motherfucker. So anyway, she came in, sat down on the bed, and it was done in a way that I was like, she's been here. She's here more. She's very comfortable. This is not her first time here. This is why men shouldn't cheat on women, because we have fucking instincts, man. Like, we pick up on shit that they don't realize. And it's like, I remember she sat down on that bed and I was like, she's been here. She's been here.
Yeah, you're not getting away with that stuff.
No, I once looked at a picture of a girl. Like, I just came across as, like, people you should know. And my first thought was, like, the guy I was with. I was like, oh, he's also with her. And I was right.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're magical creatures.
Very strong intuition.
We are magical fucking creatures. Listen to your fucking instincts.
I'm a fucking witch. I'll know.
Yeah. So she sat down and then she had on this red scarf that I had sent Charles a bunch of stuff to sell in Dublin. And that was one of them. And I was like, so then he turned to me and goes, Christiana, can I talk to you in the next room? And I was like, why? What do you want to talk about? And then she basically was like, yeah, you know, whenever you're not here, I'm here. And I wasn't going to argue with her because she doesn't owe me anything. She doesn't know me. I'm not married to her. That's how I feel. Maybe it's just like I just don't think that somebody who's not in your relationship owes you anything. That doesn't make any sense to me. This person does not know me at all. It's my husband who's cheating on me. So what am I going to get mad at her for? So anyway, so I said to him, because
that's very mature of you.
Well, it's the truth though. I mean, I've also unknowingly ended up fucking married dudes. And I'm like, well, I didn't know shit. You know, I mean, she knew, but still who is she? She's a stranger to me. She doesn't owe me anything. So, and then he tried to lie. He's like, you're lying. And I was like, where'd she get that scarf from? Cause she had on this. I was like, how does she have that scarf if you don't see this woman? And he's like, oh, she bought it, whatever, whatever. I was like, all right, Charles. And then he was like, all right, you gotta go. I wish I could do his accent better, man, because he's West African. So then he's trying to get her up, and then he was trying to move her, which I remember thinking, like, you can't remove a woman from the house? What kind of man are you? Not that I wanted him to hurt her, but I was just like, if this were another man, you can't get a woman out. Like, in my head, I was like, this is my husband. He can't physically take care of a woman. Okay. Anyway, so he's trying to, they're like kind of tussling, but also they're both African. So let me tell you, the anger rose. I remember sitting there and I was like, I don't know anything about this level of anger. Like, my ancestors must have cooled off on the boat ride over, because it went like that. I was like, oh no, I don't know. This is like Heart of Africa anger surging through them, right? So then He's trying to move her out, and then her wig came off, and that's when I knew, oh, shit's gonna get crazy, because now she's embarrassed. She had on a cheap wig.
You don't fuck with a woman's hair.
I mean, it wasn't on securely, so I don't know if she was planning on fighting, because he didn't do much, and it fell, and I was like, oh, she's gonna get crazy. So then she was embarrassed, and then he's like, okay, Ruby, you gotta go. She grabbed a bottle of cider and threw it at his head. She missed, but it dented the wall. And I was just like, oh, shit. And then he's trying to move her out. And then he's also screaming, you're trying to destroy me! I was just like, once again, I was like, what is that sound coming out of my husband? You're trying to destroy me! I was just like, oh, Jesus. So then finally, he gets her out of the room. The door is right to the left. She backs him all the way out, like, to the living room kitchen area. So she's now further in the apartment. And I was like, fuck's sake. So then she grabbed something to try to hit him. It was like a field hockey stick. She's trying to hit him. And then she's, like, holding him. Not quite choking, but almost. And I was like, Ruby, listen. We don't want any violence. Like, just go. And she's like, he's a liar. And I was like, I'm thinking, like, bitch, I got my hands on my man's other pussy. You fucking think I don't know that? And I was like, yeah, I know. I was like, Ruby, yes, I know. But, like, we don't want any problems.
I was like, who are you telling, Ruby?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm his wife. So she's like, I was like, no. I said, Ruby, I know that. But, like, we don't want any problems. Like, just like, leave. And then they separated. And then she said to him, she was like, you and I, we're going to kill each other tonight. And I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Nobody even knows that I'm here and my husband's about to get murdered. Like, no one even knows I have a husband.
Between them.
Yeah, like, oh, how was your trip? I'm a widow now. When did you get married? So then they're tussling. And then she grabbed this huge, when she said that, she grabbed this huge knife, right? So I'm like, oh, shit, dude. And then he's like, they were kind of headlocked. And he was laughing. And he was like, Ruby, come on, cut it out. Blah, blah, blah. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Then she cut his finger. And she goes, he goes, oh, you cut me. You cut me. And then he goes, Christiana, call the police. But I didn't know where his phone was because he was shady. So I'm in the room. I'm like, where the fuck is your? I can't find your phone because he always hit it because he's shady.
Yeah, seriously.
Exactly. So he's screaming.
Did she cut his full? Like,
she nicked it because they were tussling. Okay. So she nicked it. And then she'd also ripped out a bunch of his locks, too. So then I can't find his phone. This was 2006. My phone didn't work over there. So I had to go knock on some white person neighbor's door like, hey, can you please call the police? Because someone's trying to kill my husband. And they were like, what's going on? And so then I'm like, can you please just call the cops? So I went back over. I'm like, listen, Ruby, I called the cops. They're coming, like, just leave. Because, mind you, I'm American. That's the thing I thought. I sat there and thought, you guys are going to get deported. Not me, though. Not me.
That's a good point. You're like, I'm fine here, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not getting deported from this country. Both of you are on, like, in between visa statuses, whatever. Mm. Like, the government, they weren't illegal. The government knew they were there. And that's why I think.
Yeah, but they can't fuck up or, no. You know.
That's what I told Ruby. I'm like, Ruby, the cops are coming. Like, just go. Because she knows she would have been, like, locked the fuck up back to South Africa. And I think that's kind of what she wanted. Like, when he was like, you're trying to destroy me. It's because, like, she knew, like, he knew, like, if he gets into some trouble, he's fucked. And that's why I was also like, I'm staying level-headed because I don't know exactly what's happening, but I do know that I've put like 2 years into this visa and I will get this motherfucker out. Like, I don't, like, you're not going to fuck up whatever situation. And then she left and she was smart enough to leave with the knife. That's why I was like, smart bitch. But the best part was when the cops got there, it was like,
she took the evidence with her.
Smart. Yeah. She's pretty smart. So when the cops got there, there were two cops. There was a guy and there was a man and a woman. And I remember the woman just turns to me and she goes, so do you think he did it? I was just like, this is my actual life. We're not watching a movie right now. Like,
what did you say to the cop?
I just looked at her. I was like, I don't know. I was like, come on. Like, I just want to be like, yo, fuck you, lady. I know that you probably are excited to see a bunch of black people going crazy tonight, but this is my actual life. Anyway, we didn't break up then. And then one afternoon, I was walking down the street And it was a very clear thought. I said, Charles is still fucking with Ruby. I just knew it. And then, since he's an idiot, I called him and I asked him. He said no. And I said, what's the code to your phone? And then I logged into his phone online and saw all these calls. I said, whose phone number is this? Is this Ruby's? He's like, no. He's like, how could you say that? You know what happened? You know what she did to me? I was like, are you still fucking with her? He's like, no. Then I called her. I was like, hey, Ruby, this is Christiana. She was like, oh, hey. I was like, are you still fucking with Charles? He's like, she's like, yeah, I saw him the other night. I was like, all right, man, cool, thanks. Talk to you later. And then I called. Once again, why am I getting mad at her? She doesn't know me. So then I called him back.
People in the world. But the fact that you're like, all right, cool. you both should have your own show.
You should have your own Christiana. Podcast, yes.
Well, why am I gonna, also I'm just not gonna give someone the satisfaction of being like, that's my man. You know what I mean? Like, what's the point of that? Especially if a man is garbage. Why are you gonna argue like, about a garbage ass man? Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, I'm not going to get all worked up. I'm still young. I didn't know if this was going to work in the first place. And then I called him back, and then he eventually admitted to it. But then we were so far in the visa process. Like we had like 3 or 4 interviews, dude. So by the time the visa got approved, that was almost 12 years ago. Charles has been almost 12 years. Because it was during the Obama election.
Wow.
R.I.P. Yeah.
Obama election.
Yeah.
Wait, and so then the you, night you're friends no, with okay. him, right?
Yeah, Charles and I are still friends.
Obama?
He's no. I wish. Obama'd be so disappointed by this story. He'd be like, Christiana.
No, I think he would think it's really funny.
And oh Michelle, yeah, no, it's a great story.
Approve. Yeah. That's a great story. I love it.
Well, thank God I do comedy or else I just have this fucking story.
What would you do
nothing.
With this? Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I haven't actually told it on stage yet because it's a long story.
It deserves, like, if there's a storytelling show, if anyone is listening and you're booking one.
The Moth,
please, yeah.
Reach out to Christiana. So we have one last segment called Keeping Up with the Caucasians. So this is a segment where we talk about things that white people do and whether we as people of color also do those things. So you get to choose a category. We've got food or beverage, pop culture, TV, activities, style or clothes, phrases or sayings, or miscellaneous.
Ooh, let's go with food or beverage.
All right, that's a popular one. I know, and you like to cook, so I'm just curious about your opinion. How do you feel about plain chicken salad?
Or just like chicken salad at the deli. No, right? Same. I don't like
mayo-y things. I've talked about it a lot on this podcast before, but like it just mayo-y, like everything just thrown in mayo with just too much of it.
I don't like the, there's no seasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can fuck with mayo, but also like bougie mayo. Like I have mayo on my fridge, but it's got like lemon and thyme in it.
Yeah, I like,
you know what I'm saying?
Aioli.
Yeah. Flavor.
Flavor
is everything.
It's all about spice and flavor.
It looks all goopy and shit. It just looks sad. It looks like a struggle meal.
That is a struggle meal, you're right.
Do you usually?
It doesn't look appealing.
Do you make your own, like, salad? Like, you make all of your own food usually, right?
Most of it, when I can, yeah.
Yeah, no.
But I don't make chicken salad.
I think chicken salad also, they add, like, some weird shit into it, too. With, like, I don't know. Like, there's some things that just don't match. Like, cranberries, walnuts could be really good.
No, stop.
It's too much.
Yeah,
in
they
one.
Do add a lot of weird stuff. Who's eating the deli chicken salad? Please write in.
I see a lot of people, or I used to, like, hear a lot of people order it.
Were they white?
Yeah.
It looks disgusting. But also, just get tuna salad. Like, I like tuna, but chicken salad, it looks... I won't order tuna out either, unless it's at a restaurant,
ooh,
like
I'll
a
tell
deli.
You what. There's this one place in Birmingham that was a Mediterranean Greek place. No, I think they're Arab, actually, and they made... Oh, and Arabs don't make chicken salad, but it was so popular in the South that they made their own chicken salad, and it was so
good. You got to adapt.
Good. But it was seasoned, of course. So that's, I was like, why do you like this chicken salad? It's because it was made by Arabs.
Yeah, no, that sounds like it'd be delicious. But just regular deli chicken salad?
Yeah.
It just looks so goopy.
It is. It's not appealing at all.
No. Also, just, I don't know, get a salad with chicken on it. I don't know. Or just something else.
Just anything else. Yeah, I should go do like a little like poll and a survey at my local delis and ask, who's ordering this? I just want to know.
They'll be like, you know who the fuck is ordering
you
this.
Know.
Hey, you wasting our time. You know who likes some goddamn chicken salad? No. Pass.
Pass on that. Well, Christiana, we love you so much. And I don't know.
Dude, I love you guys.
Yeah, we're, well, this episode's going to come out next week, but you're going to be on our show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
so excited. I'm so excited to see you in person. And just like hang out near a fire pit outdoors. It'll be really nice.
Oh, dope. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what coat to wear. I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah. Now we have to dress for just outdoor weather all night.
Yeah. And like actually
it's insane.
But no, thank you so much, Christiana. Where can people find you?
Thanks for having me. Oh, yeah. I'm on Instagram at IncomparableMSC. And then it's also my Twitter, but there's like nothing on there.
Same. I'm like terrible at my Twitter. Well, follow us at No Fly List Pod. Follow me at Theory Yakub.
Follow me at Amama Sardar.
And thank you guys so much. Come to our live.